Today, as we come to the table,
be faithful in the small things. If something is beneath you to serve in, you've got the wrong heart. That's pride. You should be able to serve anywhere, anytime, any way, and say, God, here I am, use me. I think we have this mindset of working our way up the ladder. That's not how God works. God says, be faithful where you are, and I'll raise you up. And so Philip now being raised up, doing this great evangelistic work. Notice this, there's great joy, it says, in that city because of the work that God was doing. Now in comes the enemy. And anytime there's a great work of God, the enemy is always there to attack, is he not?
The great works of God happen because every believer is joyfully doing their part. We function as a body with Christ as the head. When we fulfill our roles and our calling within the church, the entire body benefits. But like Pastor Mark says today, we need to be joyful in doing the small things. There is nothing so small that it escapes God's notice. He sees the work you're doing. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. If you've ever felt that the behind-the-scenes work you do doesn't really matter, listen to today's message. Pastor Mark will show you through Scripture that every bit matters. Lift your eyes to Jesus today and allow Him to be the one to tell you, well done. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 8 as he continues his message, the spreading of the church.
Philip became an evangelist, and again, I've kind of told you my affinity toward Philip because Philip had four daughters that prophesied. And he was an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist, but Philip was. And anyway, God used him and had the four daughters there. So I have, you know, I don't know. I guess I have compassion on any man with four daughters. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that, you know, when there's no male influence around the house, you know, guys, maybe a little extra football or something. I don't know what it takes. But anyway, Philip didn't have that. But Philip was there and he's preaching the gospel. One of the seven that was with those that were in Jerusalem as the deacons. And what I love about this is notice what Philip did. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Why do I love that? Because the Jews, by culture, hated the Samaritans. If you can imagine being trained up to hate a culture, and some people are. It's sad, but it's true. But imagine being raised up to hate a culture. Suddenly you give your life to Christ and God gives you a new love for everybody, no matter the culture. And now God says, now go to them and preach the gospel. See, that's the power of God. And that's the power of the gospel. This is what Philip is doing. Why did they hate the Samaritans? Well, the Assyrians had taken Israel captive many years earlier and deported them out of their land. They left a few of the poor, etc. And then they brought more Assyrians back in. The Assyrians married with those Jews in the Samaria region. And they became, according to the Jews, half-breeds, not true Jews. And they even developed their own religion up there in Samaria. So when the Jews came back to the land, they had nothing to do with them. That's why when they would travel, they wouldn't travel through Samaria. They would go to the Galilee and back down to Jerusalem. They would go around Samaria. That's why when Jesus, when he went into Samaria, they were like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, James and John, remember when they went into a town of Samaria and they wouldn't accept, you know, the Lord coming through to share the gospel. He said, Lord, you want us to call down fire and burn these guys? You know, what great compassion those two apostles had, right? Well, the bottom line was there was this affinity against the Samaritans. And now we see what the love of God does in the heart. Guys, here's my point. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as a culture or an ethnic group or a color or anything else. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's all we're to be concerned about. It's His blood. That's the color we need to be concerned about. And that's blood red. And that's what washes us all clean and makes us one in Christ. And I love to see that work of the Spirit. And so He goes down to them. Notice in multitudes... The multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. So God has anointed him, and God is using him here in power. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So we're seeing him do the same kind of miracles the Lord did. demons crying out and coming out, the lame walking, those who are paralyzed, you know, all these miracles, just amazing to watch what God was doing. By the way, I do want to make one quick side note that I don't want you to miss here about Philip, because remember, Philip was doing the same thing Stephen was. Philip was simply waiting tables. We would say today, modern example, Philip was simply cleaning the church. Philip was doing the toilets. Philip was picking up cigarette butts out of the parking lot. Philip was mowing the grass. That's what Philip and Stephen were doing. That's what deacons do. And that's what they were doing. And notice God says, if you'll be faithful in the small things, I will raise you up to greater things. And now we see Philip, even as Stephen was raised up to the honoring position of being the first martyr of the church for all eternity, and everyone will know that for eternity, now we see Philip raised up to be a great evangelist in the Samaria region. Guys, my point is simply this. Be faithful in the small things. If something is beneath you to serve in, you've got the wrong heart. That's pride. You should be able to serve anywhere, anytime, anyway, and say, God, here I am, use me. I think we have this mindset of working our way up the ladder. That's not how God works. God says, be faithful where you are, and I'll raise you up. And so Philip now being raised up, doing this great evangelistic work. Notice this, there's great joy, it says, in that city because of the work that God was doing. Now in comes the enemy. And anytime there's a great work of God, the enemy is always there to attack, is he not? Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously had practiced sorcery, that is magical arts, probably some of it truly demonic, probably some of it just deception, in the city, and he astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. So notice the pride. I'm great. I'm someone great. Watch what I can do. This guy's real puffed up and boasting in himself, using, you know, again, tricks probably in part, and I think probably true demonic power in part because it's real. In verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the great, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, we'll get back to that statement in a moment. But note what it says here. He was exalting himself, and he was doing great things. But guys, I want you to note this. This is important for our day and age because this is creeping back in right now in our society. Listen to me. Satan's power is real. All right? If you don't even believe in Satan, you've already lost the battle. And Satan has been very successful in convincing much of our society that he doesn't exist. But I want to tell you something. Not only does he exist, his power is real. And the Bible says in the last days, he's going to be manifesting his power in greater ways than we've ever seen. And it's really going to be manifested in powerful ways when the Antichrist comes along. Of what we studied on in the book of Revelation, the Bible says the Antichrist, under the power of Satan, will be able to call down lightning from heaven to strike the earth. And it's going to freak people out. I mean, if a guy comes to you and says, watch this, kaboom, you're going to believe there's something going on, right? There's something going on here that's real. And if you don't know that Satan's real, who are you going to ascribe that power to? God. And you're going to be ascribing Satan's power to God, and then you're going to be sucked into following something that's not real. Now, why do I say this? Because Satan's power is real, and we're going to see more and more of it in the last days, and there's more and more of these shows that are coming on TV. What is the Long Island Medium or whatever, you know, and this kind of thing, or the Long Island Medium Large or Long Island Small Size or whatever she is. And people watch that, and they go, oh, it's real. She told them what's going to happen. It did, you know, whatever, right? Right? Now, here's what I want you to know, guys. Here's what I want you to know. Some of it is real. If she really says something that happens, if she really makes a prediction, not a prediction so much, but if she really says something that happens or there's something that shows a real power, a spiritual power, it is real. Are you with me? But it's not God's spirit. It's the spirit of the enemy. His power is real. And his spirit is going to be working harder and harder to deceive people. And people that don't understand that, I want our church to be equipped. Are you with me? Because people that don't understand it are going to say, well, I don't understand it, but I know it's real. So there's something about it. Maybe I'm one of them too. You know, I'll try that, you know, that type thing. And I don't know why I'm talking so country today. Please forgive me. I grew up here. I can do that, okay? Don't you come from the north and try that. But I grew up here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But the bottom line is, guys, is you know what? Listen, we need to be watching for the power of Satan. It's a real thing. And don't be deceived by these shows and by the... Listen, even this ghost thing, there's this ghost show. There's some channel devoted to ghosts or whatever. I don't know what it's called, but the ghost channel or something. You know, the bottom line is some of that supernatural stuff connected to that real? Yes. A lot of it is fake. A lot of it is you just got scared because, you know, it's dark and you're quiet and your friend went, boo, you know, ah, you know, I heard it too. You know, and you both run, right? I know you heard it. It was me, dummy, you know. But the bottom line is, a lot of that stuff is real, guys. I believe that maybe some of the apparitions that people see may very well be real.
Mark, you don't believe in ghosts, do you?
No, not the way they're defined today. I don't believe it's Uncle Harry come back. Because Uncle Harry, the Bible says when Uncle Harry dies, he's there. He can't get out. The Bible says once you cross over, you cannot come back. So I know that it's not somebody that you know or some relative or whatever, this kind of thing. But can the demonic realm manifest themselves in a way? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to be aware of this and we have to be alert to it because we're going to see more and more of it in our day. Now, this is one of those guys. They're astonished. They're giving heed to him. And look at this. On top of it, the line here at the end of verse 10 says, and they all said, this man is the great power of God. So they were attributing this demonic power to who? To God. That's what we have to be careful about. We have to make the distinction between God's power and the enemy's power because it is real. But they were attributing to the power of God. This man was seen as a godly man. And again, I give another warning before we read on, and that is this. Not everyone who says they're a man of God and even manifests themselves in seeming power is a man of God. Be careful, believer. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And if the fruit of their life is, notice he was drawing attention to himself. He wanted glory. It says he was wanting that. I am the great one. You look to me. And he's doing, no doubt probably taking money. You know, give me money and I'll make the prediction. I'll do whatever else. Be careful of those who are drawing attention to themselves and always wanting your money. Be careful, guys, because there's a lot of them out there. And they'll say they're men of God. And the people oftentimes see them as men of God. A true man of God will love the Lord and he'll love you. And he'll be looking out for your best interest. Watch the fruit. That's what matters. And notice verse 11. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. So this guy was good. He'd pulled it off for a long time and they were believing him. But when they believed Philip, now look at this change. Now they see the power of God as compared to the power of Satan. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. Note this. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, I'm going to give you a hint here to a verse we're going to get to in a minute. We're about to find out that even after this, Simon was still unsaved. What do you mean unsaved? Simon just then believed in Jesus, and he was baptized. Okay, does believing in Jesus and being baptized on its own save anyone? Good answer. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in James 2:9, listen to what James said. He said, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. You see, being a believer doesn't mean you're saved. If right now God would supernaturally open our eyes and we saw the demonic realm that's here, and by the way, they are, I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because they're trying to stop you from hearing the word of God. Distracting you, making you think about something else, and they're working. I believe that. I believe the angels of God are here as well, at least one, I hope. But I believe the demonic realm is very active oftentimes during church services because he wants to stop you from hearing the word. But the bottom line is that if our eyes could all be open and we could see a demon right now, if you saw a group of them all of a sudden, probably you'd say, I'm getting another church. And after that, I would say this, hey, guys, you want to see a group of believers? Yeah, show us. See these guys right here? They're a group of believers. Mark, they're demons. They're a group of believers. The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. So does being a believer get you in the kingdom? Do you think they're going to get in the kingdom? Hardly. No, you have to believe and then what? Receive. Believe and receive. It says in John chapter 1, for those who believed and received, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And so it's interesting, Paul writing to the church in 2 Corinthians, by the way, writing to the church. Here's what he said. Hey, the Apostle Paul wrote Calvary Chapel Knoxville letter. Really? Let's read it. What do you have to say, Paul? Here it is. Examine yourselves, Calvary Knoxville. I put that part in myself. As to whether you are even in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Christ is in you? Here's what Paul's saying. I know it's church. I know you're here. I know you might even be a believer. Maybe you were even baptized. But you've never received Christ, so there's never been salvation. You don't know him. And so, make sure you're in the faith. What a great word to hear from the Lord today, is it not? Make sure. Take no chances. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Give your life to him. Repent of your sin and receive him as Lord. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You know, this guy apparently looks like he's done all the right things that we're going to see in a moment. It's all a show. Notice verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, note this, he had fallen upon, I have that underlined, none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is one that gives a lot of people trouble, and some even commentators have trouble with this because they don't really understand it. But if you understand the different workings of the Holy Spirit, it's very simple. See, the Bible says there are three different workings of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Number one, there's the indwelling. It's the word en in the Greek. It's when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says God comes to live inside of you. At that moment, right then, he lives inside of you. He indwells. Then there's also the word para, P-A-R-A, which means alongside. And that means where the Lord is drawing you to himself, or maybe where he's just helping you in some situation. And then there's a third working of the Holy Spirit. It's called epi, E-P-I in the Greek, and it means to come upon from the outside. It's an outside event that comes upon. It is the word that Jesus used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said this, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's that word. Guess what this word is right here? Same word. Same exact word. So what we see is the work of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Why does it give certain people trouble? Because notice what it says about these guys. Number one, they believed in Jesus and were baptized in his name. Number two, they'd received the word of God. Now, if they believed in Jesus and are baptized in his name and received the word of God, they are believers. Are you with me? And now all of a sudden, Peter and John show up and say, you know what? You're missing something. You don't have what other believers have. There's a lack of power in your life. There's a lack of an ability to turn from your sin. There's a lack of that oomph that God gives the believer to live for Jesus with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, all his strength. Can we pray that you'd have the Holy Spirit come upon you? You know, absolutely. I know he indwelled you, but didn't he indwell me when I gave my life? Yes. But now you need power. And some of you right now today, you gave your life to the Lord. He's living inside of you. He's N-E-N you. He is para you. He's alongside you. But some of you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, even that phrase might make you a little bit nervous. But I'm not afraid to use any phrase that the Lord himself used. And the Lord says that he will come upon us with his Spirit. And the Bible says the purpose of that is power. And some of you have been living this defeated Christian life your whole life. Why can't I stop that sin? Why can't I say no to that? Why don't I have the boldness to share my faith? Because you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And if you will simply ask God to come upon you today, I'm going to pray for you like Peter and John. I'm no John. I'm no Peter. I'm no apostle. I'm nothing. And it's not going to be the special prayer that I pray. Oh, you know, that's the anointed prayer or whatever. It's you simply by faith as we pray together saying, come upon me, Lord. I want that power. And if you do that, the Bible says God will empower you and God will use you as a witness and a testimony. So Peter and John come down. They pray for them. Notice verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And so he sees this event takes place here. And notice this. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, two things to note. Something happened that was recognizable. We don't know what it was. It doesn't tell us. But when they laid hands on them and prayed, some event took place that Simon witnessed. He saw it. And he said, whoa, I want to do that. Why? Because I still want glory. And I still want power. And I still want to be the one important. I remember somebody telling me there's one of these TV evangelists. I won't say who it is, but one of these TV evangelists that's always wanting the glory. And he had gone to Albuquerque and they went down to watch him at this big, theater event down there. And they said that when they went in, they turned all the lights out right before it started. And then all of a sudden this, you know, kind of awesome type music starts and a spotlight comes on and boom, there he is in an all white suit, you know, kind of just addressing the crowd, you know. And I'm thinking, if people can't recognize the real from the fake, the one who is drawing attention to themselves and the glory, it would have been one thing if there had been this awesome music and a spotlight hit the cross. Wouldn't that have been great? But Simon was wanting the glory. He's still wanting the attention. He said, hey, I need this. I'll pay you for it. Well, how much does it cost? I need that trick. That's a good one. It's going to get me a lot of money and a lot of attention. And Peter here is going to lay into him. Watch this. First of all, he said, saying this, give me this power also that anyone in whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to be able to do that. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. How sad. God doesn't care. You can't buy the favor of God with money. You can't buy the power or the gifts of God with money. It's a work of the Spirit. It's a broken heart. It's being true with God. You know, He says, you have, look at this. He basically declares that he's not saved. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So Peter says, you got to repent. Turn from this wickedness or you can't be saved. And notice this, he says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Now, how did Peter see that he was poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity? By the word of wisdom, by the word of knowledge. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Your wisdom is there, but also the word of knowledge, the main gift operating here. One of the gifts of the Spirit is that word of knowledge. It's where God supernaturally tells you something you couldn't otherwise know. We saw Peter operate in this gift when it came to Ananias and Sapphira, remember? He said, hey, why, did you guys give what you said you gave? Yes, we did. He says, you're lying. And you've not lied to men, you've lied to God. How did Peter know that? It was supernaturally told to him by a word of knowledge. Now Peter again operates in that same gift, a word of knowledge, that power, same power here, and says, you know what? Your heart's wrong. This whole thing here, you're really blowing it. And exposes it. You need to repent. You need to get your heart right with the Lord and do the right thing. And so notice what he does. Now, this is interesting. Simon's response here. Look at verse 24. And then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me. Now, there's nothing wrong in that. I'm just looking for Simon to want to pray. Notice what he says, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Now, I don't think necessarily it was wrong for him to ask for prayer that those things wouldn't come upon him. But it seems here that Simon is really a little bit more concerned about the consequences of what's going to happen rather than the heart of God. What's my point? Guys, follow me on this. Listen, repentance is an interesting animal. True repentance, let me start out with this. False repentance is concerned about the personal consequences, right? I repent because I don't want to go to jail. Please forgive me because I this. I repent because of whatever, you know, this kind of thing. You know, officer, I'll never do it again. You know what I mean? And we're repenting and we know, sure, we're going to do it again, but we're repenting, right? It's a false repentance. Guys, true repentance is this. True repentance is concerned about the heart of God. If I'm going to repent from something, I don't want to repent to make you happy. I don't want to repent to make you happy. I want to repent to make God happy because he's the heart that I'm looking after. When I think about I don't want to sin, it's not so much that I don't want to sin because I don't want to get in trouble, although I don't want to. There's a real deterrent there. I don't want to sin because I don't want to hurt his heart. He died for me. He loves me. I love him. We have a relationship. I want to please him. The point is simply this. When it comes to repentance, guys, our heart has to be because we want to love God, not because we're concerned about what people think. Are you with me? And I think that Simon here was a little more concerned about what people would think and what the consequences would be in his life and maybe in his relationship with Peter or what's going on because he's following this new, with Philip and this new move that's going on. He says, pray to God for me that none of this happens. And notice, so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Guys, as we finish today, I want to challenge you with several things. Number one, are we going into all the world and preaching the gospel? Now, I know I have my days that I don't too. I have my times that I'm afraid to do that. But are we looking for opportunities to share the word of God? Are we looking for a chance when the doors open to be able, are we spreading the gospel? You know, God wants us to do that. I think that sometimes if we get too complacent and too laid back and lazy, God allows hard times in our life.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.